Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
All right, boys and girls, welcome to the Balance Radio Network. My name is Tom Marquis. So glad that you could be on board with us on Tuesday. Today is Tuesday, isn't it? Anyway, it's November 15th, and one of those days, coming to you live from atop of the Balance Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana. We're going to be joining live the Gary Snyder Show, where we're going to really break down some stuff today for you. My notes are gone. Isn't that how things always work here on the Balance? We just kind of wing it. We just wing it. Anyway, we'd love to have you guys a part of the conversation. So glad that you guys are with us today. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network. And we're back sooner than when I thought. Of course we are. We are having some technical difficulties on connecting with our provider here of our commercials and music and all of that fun stuff. So I'm just going to sit here and talk. How's that sound, guys? What do you want to talk about? Let me know. Let's just talk about anything. I love these days when everything that goes wrong can go wrong, especially on the time that it's not supposed to go wrong. I'm going to tell you. My name is Tom Marquis, and this is The Balance. And remember, you can follow us on I think we got them back now. Oh, my gosh, what a day, what a day, what a day. It is Tuesday. I guess all the important people aren't listening yet. I'm not getting any crazy tweets or anything. Maybe I just have a forgiving audience. I'll be right back on the Balance Radio Network. Like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
porch, 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 porch. March, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
All right. Are you a good guy at sports? I hope so. You don't have to be, because you know why? This is the Balance Radio Network. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. So glad that you could join us today. It's going to be a good day. We've got a lot to break down. Obviously, one of the key things that are going on is those Indianapolis Colts. You know what? We're coming up on a bye week. Is that going to help, guys? I don't know. But I tell you what, we're going to talk about a wide variety. We're going to kind of have our own open mic. Open Mic Tuesday, I guess you could put it for the next 30 minutes or so between myself and Gary. So you can certainly give us a call, 917-889-8516. Let us know what's on your mind. All right, guys, I'll tell you what a crazy year it's been for those Indianapolis Colts. I have no – you know what? I wish I could sit here and give you a breakdown, but it just amazes me. Surely we don't suck this bad. I mean, surely we don't suck this bad. And I hope that a lot of you guys were able to hear, and I'm sorry, I am changing subjects because we are getting ready to team up with the Gary Snyder Show. I hope you guys were able to hear Jack Abernoff, a former lobbyist and author of Capital Punishment. And we're going to rebroadcast that right here on our show here on the Balance Radio Network here in about 30 minutes or so. So just to let you know. And we'll be right back. Oh, man, I tell you what, the start of this show sometimes just get crazy. But once we get going. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Michelle Caruso Cabrera from CNBC's Power Lunch, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
I am the aforementioned Gary Snyder. This is the hour we join the Balance Radio Network and Tom Marquis. Tom, say hi.
Greetings and welcome to the Balance Radio Network, streaming across the nation to everybody. Everybody that's listening right now is listening to us.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? That would be a nice audience.
That would be a nice audience. Everybody that has our stream on right now, Gary, I promise you, is listening to us.
All right. Before we get into the topic du jour, hopefully I said that. I never really paid much into French, but I don't know. Is that even possible? Topic du jour?
Open line Tuesday. We'll just call it that. Now, you might get sued for that.
All right. Now, if you have listened in the past, you know that I have had quite an experience when I tried to find new carpet for my house. I did what most of you probably do. I went to the big home improvement box stores and found something was missing. Can you guess what it was? Service, exactly. Then a friend recommended Lehman Floor Covering in Huntington. Not only did Lehman Floor Covering have all the top brands of carpeting, Mohawk, Stainmaster, Baylow, Shaw, and the list goes on and on. They also had that special something that was missing from all of those big home improvement box stores. Great customer service, attention to detail, and that personal touch. So if you're looking for new carpet, hardwood floors, tile, laminate, vinyl, heck, they even specialize in new baths and kitchens and carry H&K countertops made right here in Marion. Lehman Floor Covering will have what you need when you need it, with most of all, the customer service you deserve. Lehman Floor Covering in Huntington is your one-stop shop from ceiling to floor. And you know what? They would not have been in business for over 50 years. That's 5-0, people. 50 years, a half a century, if they weren't doing things exactly right. Give Todd a call. He's waiting. 260-356-7226. Again, 260-356-7226 for a free estimate. Or you can visit them on the web at laymanfloorcovering.com. Well, heck, why don't you just get in your car and head on up to their newly expanded store, just, what, 20, 25 minutes north at 1940 Edna Avenue in Huntington. Do it. Of course, if you cannot remember all that, all you really need to remember, because it is literally the center of the political and sports universe, GaryLSnyder.com, where all of our sponsors are just a click away. That's a pretty nice tagline there, huh?
I tell you what, Gary, you've come a long way. Let me tell you what. Not in the right direction, but you've come a long way.
Hey, that's all I ask, is that someone at least notices I'm going the right way.
They're going somewhere, that's for sure. And the thing about it is, our listeners, when they're with us, we never know what the journey will be like, but we always get to our destination. Some way, somehow, we are always at our destination.
Well, let's get into the topic du jour. That's topic of the day for all you non-French-speaking people out there. Reports coming out of ESPN and other sources that the Washington Redskins may have an interest in obtaining Peyton Manning in a trade, and the Colts aren't necessarily hanging up the phone yet.
No, absolutely not. And to be honest with you, I tell you what, officially the Redskins are going to say that they don't have an interest in Peyton Manning. That's the official political correct answer that you're going to get. Here's the thing. It only makes sense for the Indianapolis Colts to look at the offers and options that will come to them relatively quickly as the season winds down in the direction that we think that it's going to, and that we can anticipate that we will get their first-round draft pick. And obviously, we want to go on the anticipation that Andrew Luck will join the draft. And what a lot of people aren't talking about, he is a junior. If he decides that he wants to stay at Stanford, chances are he won't. Why would he? You know, but, you know, you never know. And then he might say, then we might be looking at somebody else. But if all the stars align the way that we think that it will, we will get the first-round draft pick, and Andrew Luck would be that pick that we would get. Now what you have is you have two quality, high-quality franchise quarterbacks on your roster. Can you afford to pay both of them? The thing is, do you want to keep a marriage going that's been going on for a long time? Or do you want to have a divorce and go with the younger, richer Stanford look? And that, I guess that's just a new season and a new vision. We've got young Polian that's going to be calling a lot of the shots. obviously Irsay lets Bill Polian make a lot of those decisions and supports him 100%, and that torch has been passed down to his son. Now, the thing is, can the Indianapolis Colts afford to keep Peyton Manning? Maybe, maybe not. But if they don't keep Peyton Manning, they're going to have to get rid of Andrew Luck. Now, here's the thing. We don't have to pay Andrew Luck as much money as we may have on our first year. So one of the things that Indianapolis Colts might do, and to fill out the offers and to see what kind of a quarterback that they have on their hands with Andrew Luck, is keep Andrew Luck holding the clipboard for a year, let Peyton Manning get in back into the game, get the rhythm, get his game back, trade Peyton Manning in 2013, and still be okay and only have to pay him somewhere, I think, around $26 million if they end the contract in less than 6 years. And that will free up a lot of cap money for them. Now, the other possible scenario is they keep Luck and they get rid of Peyton Manning, which obviously the suitors will be there. And the Redskins certainly have developed an interest. And if you'll remember right, when you and I first started talking on the air together, one of the things that you approached me about was the blog that I wrote way back when about the Washington Redskins having a desire for Peyton Manning. That's not changed. Now, I'm not saying that there's any official report that's out there that says the Redskins are going to pick up Peyton Manning. But I can tell you one thing. If Peyton Manning becomes a person that the Indianapolis Colts want to use for courting purposes, the Redskins would be the first one at the door with a bouquet of roses and candy.
And when you take a look at Peyton Manning, you know, we don't even know if he's going to be able to come back from this injury, number one. Number two, if he does, what are we looking at, maybe 2 or 3 years left of productive play at quarterback? And keep in mind, the play at quarterback, you know, as this goes on, and when you look at the hits that Painter is taking right now, granted, Manning gets rid of the ball a lot quicker than most quarterbacks and a lot quicker than Painter. But when you have an offensive line like we have right now that is rebuilding, you know, that can't bode well for Peyton Manning's health anytime in the near future.
No, and that is a big concern, is how healthy will Peyton Manning be when coming back to the Indianapolis Colts. And obviously last night on the Bill Polian show on the here in the Indianapolis market area, and those that can pick up the Colts radio network know that Bill Polian basically said, you know, we really anticipate Peyton Manning to be back in the 2012 season. Now, you know, we can look into a lot of this situations, and another situation, immediate situation, is there's even talk out there that Curtis Painter will not be the quarterback, that they might pass this back down to Orlovsky. So it's anybody's guess right now, and really right now that's all it is. But if we go on the premise that Manning has recovered or recovered sufficiently to satisfy the Colts' concerns from his neck issues, and the team pays him $28 million option bonus early in March, and that they earn the number one overall pick in the 2012 draft, right now, a pretty safe assumption. From a salary cap standpoint, Gary, the Colts would be able to carry both Manning, which is $17 million against the 12 cap, and Andrew Luck, which would be somewhere probably around the $4.5 million mark. They're carrying $20 million right now, quarterbacks right now, with Manning, Collins, and Orlovsky, and Painter. So it certainly wouldn't be ideal, and would limit what the team could do in other areas. So if, when we get that number one pick, I would look for Painter to be gone. I would look for Orlovsky to be gone. And obviously Collins isn't going to be there. One of the questions that would be out there is, with the Colts likely to get the first number one draft pick, as we just said, what do you think about trading the pick to acquire more picks? And Washington? Like,
it can go either way there, Tom. We have to take a quick break. But if you guys want to chime in on the Peyton Manning situation, trade him, keep him, what do we do? I have a phone number for you to call. We're going to use a different number than our local number here because we do stream this out across the country this last hour. 917-889-8516. Again, 917-889-8516. If you want to chime in on the Peyton Manning situation, you're listening to the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
Bring in your corn, we'll make some steam together.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
All right, and welcome back to the Balance Radio Network. My name is Tom Marquis. We're going to be checking back in with Gary Snyder Show, 1400 WBAT. And we do stream this across the nation, and we do simulcast the Gary Snyder Show. And what we're talking about is, quite simply, do we keep Peyton Manning or do we trade Peyton Manning? And we've got callers on the line. We'll get to you right here in just a moment. As soon as we team back up with the Gary Snyder Show, 1400 WBAT in Marion. But one of the factors is the questions that are being asked, obviously, is with the Colts likely to get the first pick in the draft, what do you think about trading to acquire more picks? Washington or Miami, obviously both of those teams are going to be coming knocking, and would virtually trade all of their picks to get Luck or Manning, for that matter. And my question is, don't you think that we should get as many quality players? Maybe this is a situation where it's quality over quantity or quantity over quality. But obviously, we've got some situations that we've got to address. And I guess a lot of this, and we'll certainly get into this more when we jump into the program more with Gary Snyder on 1400 WBAT and Marion and callers. We know you're there. We're going to get to you right here in just a moment. But to me, I think this is part two of the Peyton Manning Andrew Luck discussion. It is entirely possible that the Colts will pay Manning his $28 million option bonus. So there's just a lot of things to think about. Well, hang tight right there, guys. We're going to be joining right back up with the Gary Snyder Show right here on the Balance Radio Network. My name's Tom Marquis. Hey, thanks for joining us.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
There's Bruner, Root, and Sneed. Help us kick off the Salvation Army bell-ringing campaign. Join us live at Five Points Mall this Friday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. during Good Morning Grant County here on 1400 WBAT.
Hey guys, Johnny Nolan here with a few words of advice about taking care of your honey. Now, even though your honey may give you the cold shoulder, and you don't want to give her the cold shoulder, cold tootsies, or cold anything else because the heater core or heater motor's gone out of your car. Then go to Ray's Auto Parts and pick up a heater motor for as little as $10 or a heater core for as little as $15. Even get a 30-day warranty to boot and your honey will feel downright warmly towards you. That's Ray's Auto Parts on State Road 19, 3 miles north of Amboy.
If you're a man over 40, you may feel like half the man you used to be. After 40, your body's testosterone level may start to drop, but there is something you can do. Call for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 61% and maintain healthy normal levels. Call now to try Ageless Male risk-free. Just call 1-800-784-8930. That's 1-800-784-8930. Call 1-800-784-8930.
This is Don Cricky, the voice of Notre Dame football, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
We're back here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT, joined by Tom Marquis and the Balance Radio Network. We're talking Peyton Manning. We're talking Colts. Should we trade him? Should we keep him? What the hell should we do with him? If you want to call, 917-889-8516. Again, all our local callers here, we have a different number for you to call at this hour if you want to chime in. 917-889-8516. All right, Tom, any response yet? Should we keep him? Should we ditch him?
Well, you know, that's a decision yet to be made, and I don't want to be the guy to make that decision. I do know we have a caller. Caller, go ahead. Where are you calling from?
Calling from Indiana.
Okay, Indiana. So, obviously, Peyton Manning. You're very familiar with the Peyton Manning situation in Indianapolis. Keep him or trade him?
I wouldn't get rid of him. I tell you, I would trade away Luck and get myself some draft picks and build myself an offensive line. I mean, we've already know that the Pac-10 will give you quarterbacks that may not succeed in the NFL. I mean, you don't have to look too far like USC there. And I would take Peyton in a heartbeat. And I'm not even a Colts fan. I mean, I'm a Steeler fan. But if I had a chance to keep Peyton in Indianapolis, I would keep him in a heartbeat. Believe me, I would not go after Luck. I'd build myself an offensive line. Peyton's already proven I mean, look at the difference. 2 years, Peyton, 10 losses, 10 victories. I mean, I got to believe that anybody would not want to get rid of Peyton. I mean, they love him in Indiana, and I understand why.
Let me ask you this, caller. With Peyton Manning, you know, with his age and as long as he's been in the league and his neck injury, you wouldn't consider trading him if, say, he only had maybe 2 or 3 years left to play versus a quarterback like Andrew Luck, who could provide all the upside that Peyton has with the longevity that Peyton's had?
Well, I look at the last game that Luck had, and quite frankly, I mean, you know, to me, he's not a proven entity yet. I mean, and I would take 2 or 3 good years with Peyton yet. I remember the Steelers were, you know, thinking that they were going to have to dismantle their Super Bowl teams. And get rid of Bradshaw and all that kind of stuff after they won their first two Super Bowls, and they kept them together, and then they ended up with two more Super Bowls. I mean, if I could get another Super Bowl out of Manning or two, I'd take it, because, I mean, quite frankly, I mean, as good as Peyton is and everything, they've still only won one Super Bowl with him, and I just think that he's a proven entity. I mean, I think that him and Brady, I mean, I like Roethlisberger a lot, but I still think Brady and Peyton are better than Roethlisberger.
Now, caller, if you were in that draft room, are you saying that we get the first round pick? Are you saying tell the draft room pass on Luck and go for another position?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I would trade him off, you know, if I could, and if I could get myself two or three good picks that, you know, could give me a good offensive line. Because I mean, you know, if they're not doing a real good job of protecting Painter, we got to protect Peyton. I would build my offensive line. I mean, you know, Pittsburgh, I mean, Roethlisberger takes a lot of hits and everything like that. I mean, Pittsburgh needs some offensive help there, too. It just seems to me that, you know, look in Chicago, when they, you know, weren't protecting their quarterback, he couldn't do anything. They go and get him some protection, and all of a sudden they start winning some games. I mean, when the Steelers were awesome, their offensive line was awesome. So, you know, I would look at the offensive line, really, I would. I would build there. A quarterback can look really good if you give him enough time.
Well, you know, and here's the thing, and you're right, Pittsburgh does need some help. Well, what's going on with Mendenhall? That's a whole other discussion, a whole other show, but get rid of him.
Yeah.
Huh?
You not get sold on him either. Not sold on him.
Well, here's the thing, and I know we got to get going here, caller, but here's the thing. What you've got to look at is what kind of value can Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck bring you? And if you draft Andrew Luck and you hang on to him for a year and you let Peyton completely redevelop, at that point you have the best of both worlds, because let's just say that Peyton Manning doesn't completely develop again. Now you've got Andrew Luck to throw in there, and you're not trying to find another quarterback situation like you did last year with Kerry Collins. So I say if you have the opportunity to draft Andrew Luck, even though he's not a proven entity just yet, I mean, look at Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers held a clipboard for almost the entire year out there at San Diego before taking that job. And, you know, that job was Eli Manning's, and Eli Manning didn't want it, and he went over to the Giants. So just because somebody isn't completely finished in college, you got to remember he's only a junior in college, so he's got a lot of time. And let's face it, everybody can't be wrong out there, and Andrew Luck is certainly one of the best that's come around in a long, long time.
Well, I got to admit, if I was going to have somebody tutor my quarterback and have him learn from somebody, Peyton would be the man. Because, I mean, I tell you, I think that he's got a career coaching after he hangs up his cleats and everything. I think he's going to be a coach, Chad. I mean, he's a coach on the field right now. I mean, my wife watches the game with me, and she goes, why is he always yelling at everybody? What's he doing? And I go, he's changing the play. I said, you know, she goes, why don't the other quarterbacks doing it? I go, he's the best at it there is. So, I mean, if I can learn from somebody.
You won't see another quarterback doing it.
I want to thank you for joining us today, and thanks for listening. All right, we're going to take a quick break here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
Bringing local.
All right. Welcome back to the Balance Radio Network. My name is Sam Mark with El Presidente. And, yeah, we've got that million-dollar question. Well, multi-million-dollar question. Andrew Luck, do we draft him? Do we keep him? Do we trade him for more picks? Do we trade Peyton Manning? And like I was, you know, just talking about, obviously, Colts owner, what I was saying is it's entirely possible that the Colts will pay Manning his $28 million option bonus, draft Luck, and keep both of them around for a few years. And I think that's kind of the direction in which that will see it play out. You know, Manning, if Manning plays and he gets rehabilitated like the Colts and Bill Polian said last night on his radio show that he is, then, you know, I got to believe the Jim Irsay owner wants the best of both worlds. You and I both know the Indianapolis Colts are not going to win a game this year. Their opportunity to win a game this year was Sunday against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I cannot see in front of their schedule coming up right now any other game that they could possibly win. So my thoughts are is this, is use the first overall pick to compile a slew of picks including a top pick or two in 2012, and fill in some of the holes in the rosters, add a top-notch quarterback and defensive tackle, and maybe a wide receiver. I'm not saying luck is going to be the next Peyton Manning, or John Elway, for that matter, but he'll be that good. I guarantee you that much, that's for sure. My name's Tom Marquis. This is the Balanced Los Gary Snyder Show on the Balanced Radio Network. We'll be right back. When we get back, we're going to catch back up. Gary Snyder, 1400 WBAT in Marion. We're going to continue this discussion. Guys, really, keep him, trade him. Want to take your calls, 917-889-8516. That's the digits to get in touch with the Balance.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
All right, we are back here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. Great caller, talking a little bit about the Colts. Peyton Manning, dump him or keep him? Trade him, get some draft picks, or keep him? I don't know, maybe we can continue that conversation here this hour. Now, you heard the Anytime Fitness Marion ad. I need you to keep in mind four things when you hear this ad. Anytime Fitness Marion, number one, memberships start at less than $1 a day. Number two, Anytime Fitness Marion, you sign up for that one-year membership, mention my name, my show. It doesn't even have to be in a good way. They will give you 2 free months on top of that one-year membership. Number three, Anytime Fitness Marion, which, by the way, is located next to Marsh North. You get a membership there, you can use it at Anytime Fitness across the U.S. Try that with any other gym. And finally, and what is probably just as important as any of the first three, Anytime Fitness Marion is open 24/7. That's right. They are open so you can work out on your schedule, not the gym schedule. How many other places are open 24/7 here in Marion? That's why you need to go to Anytime Fitness Marion. All right, Tom, great caller there, talking a little Colts.
Oh, yeah, absolutely a great caller. And obviously, as he pointed out, he's a Steeler fan, lives here in Indiana, but still very passionate about thinking that Indiana Hoosiers, not Indiana Hoosiers, but Indiana folks want to keep Peyton Manning. You know, my tweet's been burning up. I just happened to pick this one up at random from Lisden, Indiana. It says, keep him. So, obviously, that's something that Colt fans are – and very few people on the tweet cycle are saying, get rid of him. You know, and here's what I say, and I was saying this a little bit on the break here on the Balance Radio Network. I think Ursa has the opportunity here to have the best of both worlds. If Peyton Manning could play next year like we hope, let him play and let him develop Andrew Luck, and then use Luck or Manning as a pawn to get a slew of draft picks. So, and obviously we know we need some safety and cornerback positions, but we do have Mr. Brannigan on the line, and I know he's just dying to talk about Newt Gingrich coming up there with Mitt Romney.
Welcome, Brannigan.
Well, before we get to that, I'll be honest with you. I think the Colts have to keep Peyton.
Explain.
Well, for starters, I think this season has proved that he's kind of like Michael Jordan, to where the entire team revolves around him and can't function without him. But it's inevitable that he's up there in age. He's probably only got maybe a couple years left. So you need to keep him, the kid, to keep the team going, but definitely go for the first-round quarterback in the draft pick and start getting that guy prepared.
So like Tom said, take the best of both worlds. Keep him a year. Let him tutor, if you will, Andrew Locke, and then send him packing after next year.
Not so much send him packing, but let him retire as a Colt.
All right. Well, let's move on a little bit. Let's move away from football, because this show, this segment is called Brannigan. And just to let you know, John, our guest list today has included Jack Abramoff, Pete, Brian Howie, and
Brian
now
Howie.
You. So you definitely walk in great company here.
I definitely do.
All right, the first thing I want to ask you about is Sandusky. Did you see that interview with Bob Costas last night?
I did not see the interview. Is this the one where he said something along the lines of, he showered naked with little boys and they horsed around, but there was nothing sexual?
Right, and then
that's
Bob Costas asked the guy, "Are you a pedophile?" And he basically pauses, and then he says, "Am I a pedophile?" Re-asked the question himself, and I'm telling you, you thought the 53 seconds of Rick Perry were awkward. I can just imagine being
right,
Bob Costas asking that last night.
Okay, well, first things first. Let's just, for sake of argument, say that this guy is innocent until proven guilty, purely for sake of argument. His defense team's got to go. Because why this guy is actually going on TV and talking, his defense team's got to go, be disbarred, and never be used to defend a pedophile, an axe murderer, or anyone else ever again.
Why would they let him go on national TV like that?
And the other thing is, and quite frankly, Instead of the follow-up, are you a pedophile, the only proper follow-up would be for Bob Costas to get up and super kick him in the face.
Oh, yeah. And the guy didn't even answer, "Hell no, I'm not," or, you know, anything like that. It's a pause.
How do you answer
when
that,
goes,
"No, I'm not
am
a pedophile"?
I a pedophile?
Right now,
and I'm paraphrasing the question, but
I know,
but it was just very awkward, and anybody who was not, the first words out of their mouth would have been, "Hell no."
Okay, anyone who is not, the first word out of their mouth would not be, "I used to shower with little boys naked and horse around."
Exactly. Tom?
Well, no, here's my thing. And that was certainly very awkward. And I love Bob Costas. That's certainly one of the greatest. But I wish Bob would interview me sometime. Not about that, mind you. I'm saying that. I want Bob to interview
really
me.
I was going to say, do you really want to be interviewed about that, Tom?
No, I just want to be interviewed by Bob Costas because he's the greatest. I mean, we all strive to be Bob Costas. And here's the thing. I love this question. Are you sexually attracted to young boys? Pause. And he says, sexually attracted? I like younger boys. We have fun and we play. And I agree with Brannigan. This lawyer needs to be fired. I mean, for God's sake, he impregnated a 16-year-old girl when he was 30 years older than the girl. Got married and got divorced. I guess it's a perfect fit, but my God.
Let me just interrupt. Any normal person, the first words out of their mouth again is, "Hell no, do you want me to kick your ass?"
What part of anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law does a basic lawyer understand? I think they probably even teach you that before you ever even get to law school,
yeah,
if you want to be a lawyer.
And also, I mean, I think, like I said last week about a couple of these issues, I'm not happy with myself even joking about this, considering what the crime is and who was affected by it. But I'm listening to some of these interviews. It's like, and like I said, just for the sake of argument, purely for S's and G's, let's just say that he's innocent until proven guilty, just, you know, for old time's sake. Who the hell's voting this guy on television?
Obviously, as an interviewer, Bob Costas jumped at the chance to interview him. And my guess is probably when he put the request in, he thought he would get a no and probably was just as dumbfounded as the rest of the world when the guy said, yes, I'll come and talk to you about why I'm not a pedophile.
Maybe he thinks since Michael Jackson got away with it, he can get away with it. I mean, all Michael Jackson did was let him lay with him.
But there's a difference, though. Michael Jackson was the king of pop. This guy only won football games, and he wasn't even a head coach.
Well, and here's the other interesting – there's a couple interesting things that are starting to work its way out. One of the things is us as a society, we have just been ready to burn at the stake McQuarrie for not doing anything. And according – to what people are saying that is in the grand jury report, which is sealed, so we don't really know. But according to the testify that he did to the grand jury, he did do stuff. He did do a lot to try to stop this. Now, I don't know about all the particulars of what was going on that night. So are we crucifying McQuarrie wrongly? And number two, here's the interesting thought, other thing, that they're saying the Commonwealth couldn't find these supposed victims, but they could. Yeah, they could because he's the one that did it. And now these kids are like 20-some-odd years old, and some of them are saying that he never did that. So maybe it was just an attempt to publicly say, because this is such a heinous thing and such got so much notoriety, maybe – the only logic I could think the attorney was thinking about this is let's get him out there in front of America. If he didn't do it, why didn't he tell us he didn't do it? That's the only logic I get from that.
I agree. And let's take some calls. If people want to call in on this, we'll take calls on this. Again, the number during this hour, 917-889-8516, since we are streaming across the U.S., 917-889-8516, if you want to chime in on this. All right, guys, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk Herman Cain and him not knowing the difference between Iraq and Libya. John should have fun with this one. You're listening to the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 W.
And welcome back to the Balance Radio Network. We will join back with the Gary Snyder Show, as we said earlier. We may not always know how we're going to get to our destination, but the journey's always a hell of a lot of fun right here on the Balance Radio Network. My name's Tom Mark with El Presidente. It is the Balance/Gary Snyder Show here on the Balance Radio Network. We'll be right back. We'll team right back up with Gary Snyder on 1400 WBAT.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located in 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
jam, pump it up while your feet are stumping. And the jam is pumping. Look ahead, the crowd is jumping. Pump it up a little more. Get the party going on the dance floor. See, cause that's where the party's at, and you find out if you do that.
Watching the game, smoking some bud.
Are you all alone?
What's up?
What's up? Who's that?
Yo, pick up the phone. What's up?
What's up?
Back on the Gary Snyder Show, and as the merch say, we're going out in style here. All right. Now, before we get back to our guests, I need to remind you, winter is rapidly approaching, like you needed reminded, and time is running out to get that much-needed work done on your home. Got a leaky roof or storm damage? Call Dominion Home Builders now, 317-523-8414. Dominion Home Builders is an honest, top-notch general contractor serving Central, East Central, and North Central Indiana. Call them today, 317-523-8414. That's 317-523-8414. Or visit them online at DHB Indiana. Dominion Home Builders, structurally sound, distinguished by excellence. Now, if you cannot remember that, all you really need to remember is GaryLSnyder.com, where all of our sponsors are just a click away. All right, we're talking two things here, Sandusky and why in the world did he go on TV? And should his attorney be fired? And we're talking Herman Cain. Is he in Libya or Iraq? I don't think he knows. If you want to give us a call, we're not using the local number right now. We're using this number, so pay attention, 917-889-8516. Again, 917-889-8516 if you want to chime in. All right, John, we go over to Herman Cain. He is sinking in the polls faster than the Edmund Fitzgerald went down. And, boy, just to exacerbate everything, he gets on an interview and does not know the difference between Iraq and Libya. Did you get a chance to hear that clip?
I did, in fact, hear the clip. I figured this is going to come up, and I've been thinking about this all day, trying to get a response to it. I got to be honest with you, I've got nothing.
I've got nothing.
I really like
that. Well, a good radio show host would have the clip available. But
a good one.
You know, hey, the professionalism only runs so high here.
But, and you know what it is? I mean, like today he made a joke about what's his face? Henry Kissinger being a Secretary of State. He's gotten to the point where anything you hear, wait, did he actually mean that?
You know, and as you've seen plummet in the polls, you know, it's odd because, you know, we talked with Pete Seed a little bit earlier, former White House spokesman, and, you know, he wasn't really sure the last time we've seen so many different candidates kind of rise to the top and then sink so fast. And now we have Newt Gingrich leading in some polls now with Romney second. And it looks, unless Gingrich implodes again, it may be those two that vie for the Republican nomination.
You know something? If it is those two, I like that fight.
Who do you like in that fight?
Newt Gingrich.
Well, I would agree. Newt Gingrich is definitely the smartest man in the room in any of those debates.
You know, I will vote for Mitt Romney if I have to, just because he's my only option. But as far as being excited or motivated, meh. And on it, look, you know, Newt Gingrich is Newt Gingrich, yes, baggage, Dee Dee Skaza father, Nancy Pelosi, three wives, whatever. Either it's
Tom,
going to be like a cakewalk because things are going downhill, or it's going to be difficult for any of the candidates to win. I'll take the candidate who's going to put up a fight. With Mitt Romney, it's going to be Bob Dole and John McCain all over again.
Well, I'm more interested in wanting to know why the hell NBC hired Chelsea Clinton than I am about Herman Cain knowing whether or not. Here's the thing. We already know what's going to happen here. The media is going to blow up whatever is said, okay? When Sarah Palin was the vice presidential nominee, she made a comment about Russia and Alaska being in her backyard, and turns out Katie was the idiot one there because she was saying that Russia was in her backyard because it is in her backyard. I think whatever it is, Kate's probably not going to get the nomination. But, you know, one thing that you do want, you want Cain in your corner because obviously he's proven that he can raise money. And I think that he could help get the black vote. And, I mean, we need to really focus on a candidate that can beat Obama. And right now the only one out there that I see even remotely coming close because of today's economic issues that we're in is Mitt Romney. I think he's the clear choice for the nomination.
I would be more convinced if I thought he was a clear shot to win. But the only reason he's doing so well right now is because no one's turned on him yet. Let's just say he wins the nomination. He goes from being a businessman to a flip-flopping extremist. All you're going to hear is Mitt Romney's position on abortion, Mitt Romney's position on gay marriage, Mitt Romney's position on anything other than the economy, because the media is going to be able to take him down. They just haven't started to do so yet.
And they will eventually. You know, it's like when the liberal media attacks. It should be like a DVD series out there.
Dun dun dun.
And if you look at your prerequisite to be president or vice president or not, Ron Paul raises a lot of money. He's got a lot of supporters. Why not include him in this?
That's hysterical.
You know, he had to throw in Ron Paul. You know why he had to do that?
Well, let's keep in mind real quick here before we have to go that he does have a lot of support out there, and he may win Iowa, whether you like it or not. John, we got to get things going here. Where can people find your work?
You can find me at johnbrodigan.com and every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on ftrradio.com.
Your turn, Tom.
Well, stick around right here, guys, because we're going to rebroadcast that interview that you had with Jack Abramoff, and it is a good interview that we're going to run right here, coming up right at the top of the hour after we leave you guys. Or you can find us online, www.thebalanceonline.com. Find us on iTunes, search us on Facebook, The Balance, or on Twitter, capital T, capital B, and then the rest of the word, balance, lowercase.
All right, well, thank all of our guests today, Pete C., Jack Abramoff, Brian Howley and John Brodigan. You've been listening to the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
All right, and welcome back to the Balance Radio Network. My name is Sean Mark with El Presidente. So glad that you could join us today on Tuesday. We're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, what we're going to do is we're going to replay this interview with Jack Abramoff. And what a fantastic guest. I tell you what, guys, and it just keeps getting better and better and better and better with us. Let me tell you why. Because tomorrow, I mean, we have another great guest lined up. He'll be joining us here at 5:30, right here on the Balance Radio Network. Now, that's 5:30 Eastern. But we have a
we have a guest that is quite literally out of the world. Rod Guerin. Yep, that's right. The astronaut Rod Guerin that was on the very last space shuttle mission is going to be joining us tomorrow at 5:30 Eastern. So I tell you what, Jack Abernoff today, Ron Guerin tomorrow, you never know who you're going to hear on The Balance. So one thing you want to do is keep it tuned right here across the United States. You guys are the best.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on The Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, G-Balance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Welcome back to The Balance, Lush Gary Snyder Show. My name's Tom Marquis. I tell you what, it is so good to have you guys here with us right now, because I tell you what, we are getting ready to rebroadcast an interview that Gary did here on the Balance Gary Snyder Show around 3:30 Eastern today. And this is just a fantastic interview with Jack Abernoff. And to give you an idea, for those of you who may not know who he is, I don't know why you wouldn't know who he is, but if you watched 60 Minutes last week, you absolutely saw this interview. And, well, not the interview we're going to broadcast, but he was on 60 Minutes. To give you an idea how great our show is, 60 Minutes on Sunday, and on Tuesday, you're on the Balance Radio Network. Pat on the back for me, guys. I'll tell you what, you guys are the best fans. You know why? Because we have the listeners across the nation to tell these guests to, hey, we're going to get your message out. Anyway, Jack, for those of you that don't know, getting back on point, I know, get back on point. Jack Abernoff may be the most notorious and most crooked lobbyist of our time. He was the center of a massive scandal of brazen corruption and just one thing after another as a Republican lobbyist. Starting in the mid-1990s, he became a master at showering gifts on lawmakers in return for their votes on legislation and tax breaks favorable to his clients. He was so good at it, he even got to take home $20 million a year. Today, actually, he's a symbol of how money corrupts Washington. And I tell you what, this interview is good, and he talks about opening up his playbook. Jack Abernoff, great interview, and keep in mind that this was recorded at 3:35 Eastern. We're not taking any calls, but we wanted to make sure that we had an opportunity to rebroadcast this interview for you right here on the Balance Radio Network. We're loading the interview right now as we speak. And as soon as we get that loaded, we've got it loaded. So we're going to go ahead and go to that interview, and I'll be back right after this.
He is a former lobbyist and the author of the new book, Capital Punishment. Jack Abernoff, welcome to the Gary Snyder Show.
Thanks for having me, Gary.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm doing a lot better than I used to be doing when I was in prison, so I'm doing fine.
I guess every day after that is good, huh?
Very much so, yes.
Well, let's get started with the interview, because, you know, you were one of the power players. You were the lobbyist in Washington And it's always been my contention that if you want to know why a politician is doing something, just look where he's getting his money. Tell me how I'm wrong or if I am.
You're not wrong at all. That's exactly right. How he's getting his money, and frankly, how he's getting all sorts of other things that you can't even see what he's getting. And that's exactly what's unfortunately leading too many of our congressmen and their staff along the way.
Now, America seems to hate lobbyists these days. They're always, they're probably right up there with lawyers, if not worse. Should they be hating lobbyists?
Well, I mean, some lobbyists are bad, and the way, unfortunately, I was is in that category. And some are good. Some do good things. We have in the Constitution our right to petition our government. And lobbying should be a good thing. The problem is that the system is unfortunately set up in a way that leads to bad outcomes. And that's not to mitigate in any way when bad behavior takes place, such as what happened with me. But the problem in Washington isn't necessarily those things that are illegal, like some of the things I went to prison for, but the things that are legal that take place and that are outrageous.
Give us some examples of some of the things that are legal that take place that are, like you just said, outrageous.
Well, I'll give you an example. I can't take a congressman to lunch for $25 and buy him a steak and sit down and have lunch with him and talk to him about something. But I can declare that same lunch a fundraiser and not only buy him that steak and give for $25, but I can give him checks for $25,000 in addition to that steak. And have that same discussion. And how much more influence do you think I'm going to have in that discussion? That's okay by the law.
Now, your book, Capital Punishment, just came out here in the last week or so. You've been all over the news with it. Why this book? Why now?
Well, I wanted to do two things with the book. First of all, I wanted to educate people about what really goes on in Washington, what lobbyists are really up to, what are the tricks of the trade that are used, what are some of them that I used, and what are the things that anger Americans, and rightfully so, and frustrate them, what exactly is happening behind those closed doors. And so for probably the first time, a lobbyist who attained the position that I did is speaking and breaking, as it were, the Omerta code of lobbying and letting people know in the hope that they'll get angry enough and then eventually move to what else I do in the book, which is give some prescriptions. What are the kind of things that would actually shut down this corruption in Washington? And so that's number one. Number two, what I wanted to do with this book is, when my situation broke and the media went to town on me, there were probably 10,000 articles written about me, and I guess about a third of what they said was accurate, a third probably was exaggerated, and a third just never happened. But what happened was I was kind of created into a cartoon monster and an evil being like Satan on wheels. And what I wanted to do is show people, look, I'm a human being. I have a family, and I have a background. Here's how I grew up. Maybe here's how I got off that path, and here's who I am, and I sort of wanted to get that out there too.
Now, you pled guilty to 3 counts of fraud when you went to prison almost 4 years ago. What exactly were you convicted of, so our listeners, I guess, know that as we speak?
Sure. I pled guilty to, number one, not telling my clients that I was receiving fees from the companies that I recommended that they hire and that I worked with to perform grassroots activities on their behalf, trying to stop threats to their market share. I didn't inform them appropriately that I was receiving money for that activity, like the money I received from my law firm activities, and that was called honest services fraud. I pled additionally to having my clients, both those clients that I charged, and there were plenty of folks, by the way, Gary, that I did work for free, pro bono. Some of them wanted to make some payment of some kind, and often I would direct them to give money to charities instead, and charities that I supported. But by doing that, I broke the tax laws because that's evasion of taxation, and I pled guilty to tax fraud for that. And then finally, with relation to my activities on the Hill and with members of Congress and their staff and public officials, providing a stream of goods and services, things like tickets to sporting events and golf and travel and meals, in a way to build relationships with them inappropriately, to give me access and the people who work for me access so that we could lobby them. And I pled guilty to that as well.
Now, I saw your 60 Minutes interview, and I was just amazed at the amount of money that you spent on some of these congressmen and senators. Just kind of go over that and I guess explain some of the perks that you would give these congressmen and senators basically for access or, you know, as a lot of people would think, buying their vote.
Yeah, no, it was outrageous. I basically bought, every year I spent over $1 million, upwards of $1.5 million, just on sports and concert tickets to all the venues in D.C. so that basically any congressman or staff who ever wanted to go to any event of any kind in this region would come to us and we'd get them tickets. And usually folks from our office would go along and they'd have sometimes 3, sometimes 2 hours of access to be able to discuss the various activities and things that we were lobbying on. So that was one. Two, I had a restaurant. I actually had 2 restaurants that I owned. And a number of congressional staff and members had it like their own personal cafeteria, and they got to eat there for free, and nobody charged them, and that was wrong as well. Additionally, I would take every year a trip of members and staff to Scotland to go play golf at St. Andrews and other places. So I basically lavished these guys, as did my staff, with as much as we could to gain as much face time and access that we could so that we could convince them to support our causes and our clients.
Now, while you were in Washington, you were considered one of the top lobbyists. You were also considered a lethal opponent, Team Abramoff, as you were known, and you rarely lost in Congress. Why was that?
Well, in addition to having the best access for the things I just told you about, I raised more money than any other lobbyist politically for members of Congress. There was almost no member of Congress that either I only raised money personally for Republicans, but I had Democrats who worked for me. And at the end of the day, I guess you could say probably 60% of the money we raised was Republicans and 40% for Democrats. So I raised more money than anyone, I had better access than anyone, but more than that, because it doesn't get you there. What we would do is we would strategize, and I knew the legislative process, as did my team, as well as anyone, and we had some of the best strategies and countermeasures that we could come up with, and frankly, we worked a lot harder than our competition. What you find in the lobbying world are people who used to work on Capitol Hill, and they come out, and they get a lot more money, and they kind of get cozy and cushy, and they get lazy, whereas our guys worked virtually round the clock, continually. I write in the book about the amount of emails that we used email as our primary communication. Gosh, I sent 850,000 emails, Gary, during this period. Unfortunately, I basically provided a roadmap to our perfidy for everyone. What happened was that our guys worked harder. We worked smarter. We had better access, and so we were able to win virtually every fight we were in.
Now, in one of your previous interviews, I'm paraphrasing here, but you talked about having access to like 100 congressmen and senators, and you considered that almost a failure because there were another 365 that you had not gotten to yet.
Right. I said in my previous incarnation as a lobbyist, I would have considered that a failure because that's right. There were 335 extra that we didn't influence at that level. And that unfortunately was sort of the way I played the game. I was an aggressive killer. You know, we went out there to win, and whatever it took to win, we did. But unfortunately, it also meant we crossed the line, and we paid for it severely.
Now, at the pinnacle of your career, you were basically considered one of the most powerful men in Washington, and then at the same time, it all came crashing down. What was it like when you saw your, political empire, if you will, come crashing down around you?
Well, you know, at first I was in denial. I thought that, I'll get through this. And there were a couple levels of that. you know, thinking, all right, you know, I just have to hold on. Nothing lasts more than a week or two in this town anyway. And then it kept going and getting worse and worse. And then when my law firm let me go, kind of was a stunning blow to me. I thought that they were going to step up to defend me, but instead they fired me. And that kind of hit me right in the stomach. And at that point, I was in a free fall. And, you know, gosh, it was almost a nonstop descent into the abyss. I couldn't grab a hold of anything, you know, on the side to stop the fall, and I couldn't land. And finally, I did land, by the way. I landed in prison. And when I arrived, it was the big final thud on the ground.
Well, let's move into that a little bit then. What was prison like, and is that just as dysfunctional as the rest of government?
Well, it's probably emblematic of the dysfunction of government. It's obviously a more difficult circumstance where you have a lot of men packed into a smaller area than they belong, with a lot of tension, and people who are, for the most part, 90% of the folks in federal prisons are you know, drug dealers and not white collar guys or anything like that. So it's culturally very difficult for folks you know, who come in from a white collar world. And but the healthcare in the prison was reminiscent to me of probably what Obamacare would be. Basically, if you got sick, you had to fill out a form, and you'd be able to maybe see a physician's assistant a few days later. And if I remember a number of incidents where people who would play sports at the prison, especially the white collar guys, would wind up getting hurt. And one of the guys slid into second base. They were playing baseball. And this prison was built over a former plate glass factory. So there were shards of glass all over the place. And this poor guy slid into the base and cut up his knee, and he was gushing blood all over the place. And they brought him up to the front. And the guard said, "You're bleeding on my floor. Go stand on the grass," which he did. And he stood there for an hour or so until they finally came out, and they brought him a Band-Aid. And that was it. So it reminded me when I started hearing about the Obamacare and socialized medicine. I figured, well, I got a head start.
That's an interesting way to look at it. Next question I have for you is, how come there were no Democrats indicted in this whole scandal, and only one congressman ended up going to prison over it?
Well, you know, I can't say why Justice Department did or didn't indict people. I do know that they were very careful and thorough in their investigations. You know, I didn't have the evidence they had. I know that they're impeded in a lot of their investigations of the Congress by various rules that the Congress makes, and including the speech and debate clause, which is that which basically prevents them from getting anything that's on the Hill. You know, if you remember famous Congressman William Jefferson, who had $90,000 in cash in his freezer at home, and he, of course, was arrested and convicted. But if Congressman Jefferson had that cash in a freezer in his office, they wouldn't have been able to do a thing to him. So I don't know what all the particulars were of all the investigations. I wasn't enmeshed in it like that. But I imagine the Justice Department went through and figured out they didn't have sufficient evidence to really come after more people than they did.
Well, through all this, you also had a family, a wife, and I believe five kids. How did they deal with this whole mess that you got yourself into?
Well, it was horrible for all of us. You know, my kids were young teenagers when this happened, and there couldn't be a worse age than to lose your father either before prison or during prison than this age. And so my wife, who I married above myself, Gary, I have to tell you, not only was she...
You and me both.
Not only was she a loyal and wonderful and faithful wife, but she bucked me up at my low points and bucked up the kids and kept us together and kept us moving together, and, you know, went out and got a job because we, you know, became impecunious, you know, without any money, and I couldn't earn anything. I was earning 12 cents an hour in prison, and so she got a job and works double shifts every day and has since this started. And is just an amazing person, has kept us all moving together. But obviously something like this happening for kids and for a wife and for me, I lost my mother. She lost her mother during this process, really painful. And my father, who has been lived through this, It's just, there's no way to describe it. It's just horrific.
So what is Jack Abramoff up to today besides writing a book?
Well, I'm trying to get out there and speak about what I know and try to provide people with some background about what goes on in Washington and what goes on and what they should be focused on and what they should do about it. I come up with, in the book, I go through a bunch of prescriptions, what people could push Congress to do if they get into it, and the kind of things that I hope would help fix some of this. And so I'm kind of focused on that right now. It's hard for me to have long-term plans right now. I'm just trying to take every day as it is. As we said at the beginning, every day is better than a day in prison. So I'm just trying to appreciate the little things in life that I lost, and I'm trying to get them back, and just do good and try to be good and try to make some recompense for what I was.
Now, if you're just joining us here on the Gary Snyder Show, we're speaking with Jack Abramoff and his book, Capital Punishment. Is there anything that you wanted to cover about your book that maybe, you know, I didn't have the foresight to ask you?
No, it you know, the book is a bit of a wild adventure like my life was. I take people through the fun times, the funny times, the outrageous times, the horrific times. I show them the inner belly of the beast in Washington. I take them and show them things that they ought to be real scared about what's happening in this country, and I try to show them a few ideas for how to move through it. So I'm hoping that people buy the book. I have a website, abramoff.com, where they can go and communicate with me even through it and buy the book, or they can go to Amazon, of course, amazon.com, and get the book. And I hope people will read it, and I hope that maybe we'll be able to do something about that which I was involved in and I was leading, and that which is helping to undo our republic.
Well, Jack Abramoff, it's been a pleasure, and good luck with your book, and maybe we can get you back on again sometime.
Love to. Thanks so much.
Well, there you have it. Jack Abramoff, in his own words. What a fantastic interview to have the opportunity to have a man, I don't want to use the word stature, but a man that has seen the highs and lows and, you know, seems to be on the right track now. And what's good to talk to people like this is to really, you know, the average American does not have the insight that a lot of people know what's going on in politics. And, you know, I pride myself in knowing a lot. I follow a lot of politics, and obviously being very involved in the Republican Party here in Indianapolis, I'm exposed to some things, but even to that level, it doesn't happen here on the state level. And, you know, it's just, you know, the things, and here's what amazes me. You know, tonight, you know what our Vice President of the United States is doing? He is actually attending a fundraiser, watch my air quotes, fundraiser held by some lobbyists. Unbelievable. I'm just saying. I'm not saying anything's going wrong there. I'm not saying that Vice President Biden is doing anything illegal. Certainly not saying that. Not where you can hear me anyway. I mean, come on now. His administration, the Obama administration, preaches about how much they turned down the bad money, the money from the lobbyists, about how much they're after the rich, they're after the rich because they want them to sacrifice to pay for their big government. Jeez. Chelsea Clinton, NBC, really? She's supposed to provide feel-good stories. Feel good. Gosh, you know, I don't get it. I am so, and you say, oh yeah, you're a member of the media. I am a member of the media proudly, but I am strongly against the staunch negative liberal media agenda. And I just think that this is
NBC hiring Chelsea Clinton to do feel-good stories. Is anybody even I'd be curious to hear this. If you guys want to give me a call, 917-889-8516, we'll talk about this. But and I think Gary might be joining us here in a few minutes. I know he's in the process of leaving the radio station up there, 1400 WBAT. I think he's got some honeydew jobs. I think he got a text, had to pick up some milk. It's in the store. What I want to know is, has anybody even heard Chelsea Clinton speak? I don't know if I have. I mean, I know I've heard quotes and read quotes of things that she said when she was on campaign with her mom, and things that she's always been one that's hated the media. You know, her wedding was very, very private, which as it should be. But at the same time, Chelsea Clinton, oh my gosh, they think Jennings said, well, she could be the next Tim Russert. Really? Oh my gosh. You know what? We got about 30 minutes left here on the program, 917-889-8516. We stream across the nation. We want to hear your thoughts. It's Open Mic Tuesday. Can I say Open Mic Tuesday? What? That's Open Mic Friday. I'm not saying anything out of the way. And I'm buzzing people here on my phone unintentionally. Yeah, you ever get these phone apps? This Yahoo phone app. If you don't like close it out before you put it in your pocket and lay it down on the table, it'll buzz whoever it is you're talking to. Just buzz somebody. Probably like, what? WTF? OMG. Who created that whole dialogue? OMG, LOL, WTF. You know what? My son's had to teach me a few things. TYTL. I know why. Yeah, talk to you later. I get it. I didn't at the time. It's only been about 3 weeks ago. I always saw that on there. I didn't really pay much attention to it. TYTL. So I'm going to start. That's going to be my end quote for the show. TYTL, America. Oh, y'all have left me out here on an island all by myself tonight, but that's okay. We'll be right back here on the Balance Radio Network.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, TBalance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Oh, man. Welcome back to the Balance Radio Network. I want to go home on a Tuesday. I tell you what, we are atop of the Balance Studios here in Indianapolis, Indiana, the plush studios here in Indianapolis, Indiana. We're taking your calls. It's Open Mic Tuesday. I looked it up, guys. I can say that. Open mic just refers to the fact, you know, comedy clubs use it all the time. Open mic. It's true. So, and I'm not infringing on another radio show. Y'all know what it is. What? Really? I'm not going to, no. I think y'all know where Open Mic Friday is. So we're Open Mic Tuesday. Kind of hoping Gary Snyder will give us, you know, typically what we do here on the second hour, we run the second hour that's ran as heard on 1400 WBAT. And, you know, we had this interview with Jack Abernoff, and I thought, you know, surely he knew to go ahead and load second hour. He left me with 30 minutes to fill, guys. I know. Hey, I can do feel-good stories. Much better than Chelsea Clinton. Much better than feel-good. Much better stories than Chelsea Clinton. I'm buzzing, people. I don't even mean to do it. What do you do? Welcome to the Balance Radio Network. My name's Tom Marquis. You know, some of the things we've been talking about today on today's show, and we've just had a wide variety of topics. Obviously, Peyton Manning, trading or keeping him. And you know, we were talking a lot about Sandusky and what's going on there. And for a lot of you that, unless you've been under a rock, you know what's going on with Sandusky of Penn State. And I guess, and this is just some things that are just coming out, but I guess there's been some newly released documents that show deeper ties between the charity founded by the alleged child rapist. I use that word alleged, and I'm going to use it loosely. Hey, he doesn't have to be found. He doesn't have to be found guilty of his peers, a jury of his peers. You know damn well that the media tries to convict a lot of people. I am proud to be on that side of the fence on this particular issue. Yeah, he is guilty, and in my mind, absolutely. But for legal purposes, we'll say alleged child rapist, Jerry Sandusky. As this whole thing comes together, it's sad that, you know, a guy like myself, and as most of you know, we were on Saturday, and, you know, my roots lie in sports, and that's, you know, that's what I do. So obviously, the Sandusky story is a huge story to me on the sports news side and on the news side. And as we've moved some furniture around here on the Balance Radio Network, and we've teamed up with the Gary Snyder Show, and we're covering, you know, politics and news and pop culture, unfortunately, this Sandusky stuff's under every one of those rugs. Well, anyway, I guess that there's some new documents that are coming out that show a lot deeper ties between the charity founded by the alleged child rapist, Jerry Sandusky, and the judge who will set his bail, with a document showing a top official of the charity raising campaign money in 2007 for the judge. That could have huge implications on that. District Judge Leslie Dutchcock, I hope I said that right. It's Cott. Dutchcott. Get your minds out of the gutter. Dutchcott. Just wanted me to say it again, didn't you? Oh, the Balance crew, these guys rock, let me tell you. Never miss a point. District Judge Leslie Dutchcott. That's how you say it. Dutchcott. Granted Sandusky and ex-Penn State coach a $100,000 unsecured bail. Now check this out.
for those of you that aren't up on your bail terms. No, I'm not up on my bail terms either. I was dismissed. I was never found guilty. Kidding, guys. Kidding. Don't burn my phone up. I would like to burn your phone for y'all to burn my line up here, 917-889-8516. But basically the meaning of that means that he doesn't have to come up with a full amount unless he fails the shelf of courts. Usually it's like a 10% amount. Sandusky is accused of sexually abusing at least 8 boys over 15 years, including in some cases on the campus of Penn State University. And, you know, we were talking when Brodigan was on about this interview with Bob Costas. And I tell you what a great guy to interview. And he is one of the best. He's the Barbara Walters of sports, Bob Costas. That man knows his stuff. He knows his junk. I knew y'all were going to say something as soon as I said that. As soon as it popped up on my screen and I read it, I knew what I was going to get, what I was getting myself into. But what has happened here, and unfortunately, Penn State has got caught up in the crossfire, as well as Joe Paterno. And, you know, and that's something else we're talking about. Did Joe Paterno know? Did he do anything illegal? Yeah, well Penn State is a indirect state. And which basically means, the way I understand it, and of course I'm no lawyer, but basically says that he doesn't have to report it directly to law enforcement agencies, rather does have to report it to his superior. So I guess that's what he did. But unfortunately, whether or not he did or didn't, Joe Paterno's got caught up in this crossfire, and he turned his head. Basically, that's what's happened. And you know, I don't know why he would do that. And, you know, obviously he comes from a different generation, but he's one of the greatest coaches of all time. You put that aside, certainly Joe Paterno is right up there with Lou Holtz and, you know, Lombardi and, you know, some of the great coaches out there. So basically they've been caught up in all of this. And this whole scandal has just brought this whole university to its knees. And obviously, like we said, Joe Paterno gets fired immediately, and he was going to retire. They wouldn't even allow him to retire. And basically, after criticism, saying that they didn't notify police earlier of what they knew about allegations. Now, Sandusky, now he's 67 years old, founded this charity, The Second Mile, in 1977 to help. Now, this is where it starts getting nauseating. This is absolutely – he's a monster. I mean, Bob Costas said it too. America – Bob, America thinks you're a monster. His response is this. Let it play out. Be patient. I don't think America's going to be patient. Not in this court. Absolutely not in this court. Sandusky, he founded this charity, The Second Mile, in 1977 to help, now wait for it, at-risk youths. He is now accused of meeting his victims through the charity. So did he organize this charity for troubled youth so that he could prey upon them? Tell me he's not a monster. Well, I know being convicted of in the public court is sometimes far worse than being convicted in the actual court. But you know what? After listening to that interview last night with Bob Costas, and I listened to the whole thing, and I've listened to it, and I've paused, and I've listened, and I've made notes. He did nothing to help his case. As Brodigan and them were talking about earlier here on the show. That lawyer needs to be fired. Never allowed and disbarred, dismantled. Never allowed again to he's basically, here's what I mean, I wish I had the soundbite. But basically here's what Bob Costas is asking, two questions. First question, ask him, are you a pedophile? Exactly. Awkward silence, huh? And repeats it, then he begins to repeat the question. Am I a pedophile? No. Then, a little bit later on, Bob Costas asked Sandusky, are you sexually attracted to young boys? Now, that may not be the exact quote, but that was what the question was. Are you sexually attracted to young boys? And so, again, pause. It was like 17 seconds there, which in radio, by the way, is a long time. You know, if I stop talking right now for 17 seconds, do you know how many listeners I'd lose? Yeah, all two of them. That's right. The two that I have would be gone. So 17 seconds. I mean, ask me right now if I'm sexually attracted to young boys. No. It didn't even take me a quarter of a second to answer you. What? 17 seconds? That's a long ass time. He didn't think about it. And here was his response. He didn't even say no. What he said was, well, am I sexually attracted to young boys? I like their company. I enjoy being around them. Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's beginning to look like he founded Second Mile to have a legal ways to pray and be the monster that he is. It's unbelievable. And like I said, he's accused of meeting his victims through this charity. And as we just talked about, he admitted Monday in a TV interview that he had showered and horsed around with boys. But he denied doing anything sexual and said that he was innocent of all charges. All right. I'm no lawyer, okay? But let's define sexual. In the showers and horsing around. You know, it's one thing if you're all in the same gym class or you're all on the same football team in high school or basketball team or track or whatever. You know, when we were kids, when I played basketball in high school and football and I ran track and cross country, heck yeah, we played towel poppins and we'd do that sort of stuff. I mean, that's what guys do. We were doing it with our coaches. Are you kidding me? That in itself is creepy. Yes, I use creepy. I know, it sounded gay, didn't it? Not that there's anything wrong with it. And then in October of 2007, Robert Poole, chairman of the Second Mile, hosted a fundraiser at his house that he netted $1,463 for. Now, see, remember what I said earlier on in the show? you may not know where the journey's going to take us, but we always get to the destination. Remember me saying that? Well, here's my destination. The judge in all of this benefited from money and fundraisers for his political fundraiser. I said creepy. That's right. Well, it is creepy. Creepy old man. When you don't get in the shower and horse around with young boys, give me a better adjective. I'll use it. Oh, my goodness. So, you know, what are your thoughts on that, this whole Sandusky thing? And like I said, the media has been trying and convicting people for a long time. And damn it, I'm ready to put my hat into the ring on this particular subject. I'm ready. I am ready to say, Sandusky, last night, you should have kept your damn mouth closed, okay? If I was your lawyer, thank God I'm not, if I was your lawyer or PR guy, rule number one, don't talk. Don't answer your phones. Don't do interviews. Talk to nobody. What part of anything you say can and will be bolded, underlined, in quotes, be used against you in the court of law? Now, what part of this interview is going to be heard by the jury? I'd venture to say all of it. And if I was a juror, and I was sequestered in a hotel room, and I had to go back and listen to that interview, it wouldn't take me long to make up my mind on all accounts. In fact, if I was the jury on this, I would throw in a couple extra accounts if I could legally do so, just because I know there's something that I missed. Since 1977? It's unreal. Joining us now, Gary Snyder, the Gary Snyder Show. How are we doing, sir?
We are doing excellent.
I was on my little Sandusky kick, just, you know, basically reiterating what we've already talked about on the show, and that the guy convicted himself with Bob Costas. And,
I like taking showers with little boys, and it was just horseplay, and, oh, my God, he slid across, and I accidentally sodomized him. Oh, no.
You know, I know we shouldn't make jokes about it, but you're right. That's how silly and stupid that it sounds. And what got me on this discussion was, what a fantastic interview that you had there, and I'm glad you were able to join us here in the last few minutes of the show here. Jack Abramoff, I listened to that. It's a great interview. And what I find funny, and I think I tweeted you this. I know I tweeted. I think I sent you the text, too. Our Vice President of the United States of America tonight on his agenda is attending – a big fundraiser, air quote, dinner, air quote, with a lobbyist. Isn't that against what Obama talks about all the time? They don't take dirty money?
It goes back to my first question to Abramoff, and that is, you know, tell me if I'm wrong, but if you want to know why a politician, and I'm including, presidential, I'm talking congressional, Senate, down to the state legislature, to your local councilman and mayor. If you want to know why a politician is doing something, all you have to do is look and see who is giving him the money. Hey, I want a sales tax. I want an online sales tax in Indiana, says Luke Kinley. Wow, who gave him money? Hey, I want to have beer sales on Sunday now. Whoa, who gave you money?
Hey, I'll vote for
I want to ban texting. Oh, gosh. You know, the insurance industry was one of my biggest contributors. If you want to know why a politician is doing something, 99 times out of 100, just look at who is giving them money. Period. And Jack Abramoff, the guy who was the king of this, said, Gary, you're absolutely right.
And you know what I loved most, that was just a great interview all the way around. What I liked about that interview, Gary, was, you know, I could buy him a $25 steak, or I don't know exactly how it worked, but I can't buy him a $25 steak, but I could invite him out to a restaurant.
Call the fundraiser and give him a $25,000 check.
And I just wonder what kind of money Biden's raising tonight, and for what cause? Obamacare? How many Supreme Court judges are going to be at that dinner tonight? I don't know. I would be curious to see if there's any Supreme Court justice that got an invitation to this dinner tonight.
It's all of them, unless they are someone who does not take PAC money. They're all doing it. I mean, and I didn't bring this up in the interview, but if you go back and watch the 60 Minutes interview, he tells you right off the bat how he gave a congressman a bunch of money and language was inserted in bill, and he was being paid by the Indian Casino PAC in some state, millions of dollars, and in return he got this congressman to insert very vague language that no one would understand, going back to Rule 72, if it applies, and how that got into a bill and became law, all because, A, this Indian casino gave Abramoff money, Abramoff gave this congressman money, and inserted in the very back of a bill with the vaguest of language, and it became part of the law of the land.
I heard that. I watched that because I knew he was coming on the show. I watched that that interview, and you're right. I got to get that book. I've got to get that book. But see, here's the thing. Just like Bernie Madoff, he went to prison. It's not going to change. It's not going to stop. And I also like the part in your interview where he talks about how ironically enough, laws are worded to protect congressmen from ever being in trouble with the law.
Right, and when you listen to the interview, one thing that I did notice, if you've heard interviews with Jack Abramoff before prison and this, he does sound very contrite. He does sound like, hey, I got caught. I'm very sorry. I've missed that 4 years with my wife, missed that 4 years with my children. I wish I would not have done it. He sounds like a very humbled man. But for every Jack Abramoff out there that went to prison for 4 years and is very humble, you have pre-jail Jack Abramoff still running around doing this.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, Gary, we got about 5 minutes left. I also want to make sure that we talk about a great guest that we have on both our shows tomorrow at 5:30, I believe is the time, 5 or 5:30 Eastern. This guest is out of the world, quite literally. Yeah. Colonel Ronald J. Guerin, Jr. of the U.S. Air Force and NASA astronaut. You know, and the way I look at it, this guest is you can get astronauts and you can get presidential candidates, but if you get an astronaut that was on the very last space shuttle mission to space to come on your show, that's pretty big. And he's going to be with us tomorrow.
Never had an astronaut on my show.
We will tomorrow. Ronald Guerin is going to be on our show. He was on this guy has got more awards than I did in Boy Scouts. I mean, he was a distinguished graduate and top academic award, U.S. Air Force Fighter Pilots Weapons School, twice selected as top academic instructor pilot, test pilot, U.S. Air Force Weapons School, U.S. Air Force Weapons School, and U.S. Air Force Weapons and Weapons Tactics Center, test pilot. Distinguished graduate from United States Air Force Weapons and Tactics Center. Distinguished graduate F-16 Replacement Training Unit. Honorary doctorate of science degree from the State University of New York. And I didn't even get through the first paragraph there.
Well, obviously, when we bring our astronauts on to NASA and send these people up into space, we're not sending people like me and you, the average Joe. We are sending people that are extraordinary, and any astronaut that you look at probably has a very distinguished resume like this guy, and I just can't wait to talk to him tomorrow.
Oh, it's going to be exciting. We're going to be glad to have him on. Well, Gary, I'm so glad that you could join us. So glad that you could work up that interview with Jack Abramoff. What do we got the rest of the week?
Tomorrow we have Chuck Farr, I believe that's his name, Abdul on Thursday. We have a lady, and the name escapes me, but she was one of the last – matter of fact, she was the last lady to leave the Jonestown camp in Ghana before the mass suicide. She'll join us tomorrow also, Abdul on Thursday, and then Football Friday.
Well, I can tell you what, I'm excited about talking to that gal from Jonestown. I don't think I was about 10 years old when that happened. I remember I was in elementary school, and we had to do a report on current events. And me and my morbid mind at that age, that's the report that I chose to do on current events, which Jamestown, I think part of it was, we were living out in Colorado Springs at the time, but I think part of it was the fact that Jones was from right here in Indianapolis, was from Indiana. So I found that to be interesting. So, well, it'll be interesting to talk to him. Well,
and,
Gary, thanks for joining us. Go ahead.
No, but so Kathy, Gabrielle Giffords, Jonestown was, where our only elected congressman has been killed in the line of duty. Assassinated.
Really? Well, there you go. Gary Snyder, always with the last minute bits of truth.
Or at least hearsay.
At least hearsay. All right, guys, we'll see you tomorrow right here on the Balance Radio Network, 5 o'clock Eastern. When we'll have at 5:30, astronaut Ron Guerin and a host of great guests for the rest of the week right here on The Balance, Slow's Gary Snyder Show.
Worst thing I ever heard.
It was terrible.
Horrendous.
Well, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, yeah?
Well, there were parts of it I liked.
Yeah, I liked a lot of it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was great.
It's wonderful.
Well, bravo.
More.
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 Me, me.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, gun. You thought I was going to say son of a bitch, didn't you?
That's all, folks.